Are you ready for a job that gets you more? UPS is hiring now. As a warehouse worker, you'll earn up to $21 per hour, and you might even be eligible for a program that helps you with thousands of dollars for college, in many cases tuition-free. Search and apply now at upsjobsky.com.
Card Nation, this is Attorney Alex White with SueDistractedDriver.com. Our law firm is a team of dedicated attorneys ready to fight for you. If you get injured because of someone else's negligence, their insurance company already has a legal team, and now so do you. If you or a friend or loved one are injured, find your attorney at SueDistractedDriver.com.
This is an advertisement.
437-9680. It is The Take here, ESPN 680, 105.7 ESPN, Louisville.com. Just call Jeff Greer. I mean, he's got a baby now. I told him 15, 20 minutes. I just wanted to shoot the you know what with him. It's always odd days that I'm, when you're hosting more solo, and thank God Strebel's not here. And when he finds out, I cannot imagine.
Here's
what's happened to this. No, he's going to find out. Here's what's happened. Strebel's in another country. He doesn't have the $10 you put on your phone plan for international service.
No.
So he doesn't have any of that.
No. So he's going to get back to the mainland, and he's going to have approximately 865 text messages.
Oh, man.
All of them.
Texter says 4.8 mil is the exact amount to franchise one Roosters and one Skyline. Texter says, wait, you're just finding out he quit. Have you not watched the past four games? Listen, you can be bad and not quit. Those are not the same things. We've seen guys not work out around here. Basketball, football, whatever it is. That doesn't mean, I equated it to Fight Club. The first rule of Fight Club is you don't talk about Fight Club. Well, the first rule in sports is what? Not to give up. Now, again, I don't care. I think Louisville fans are happy today. I think they're happier this happened now and they didn't have to go through 11, 12 games, and they feel like right now, because of what happened in the Bahamas, they feel better right now about Saturday and about some of these other games than they did with Chris Mack. Bean up next on ESPN 680, 105.7, 267, 9680. Fire away.
Hey, man, I've listened to you and Mark both going back and forth, and I just disagree with kind of both takes. Like, I feel like he was disappointed. I feel like he's been disappointed almost the whole season. Like, I said it when he got suspended. I said he was getting railroaded. Mm-hmm. And I think he's just had some animosity about that going forward.
Oh, sure he does.
And then
absolutely.
And then I think for him, the job, I always say it's like, imagine you're a kid and there's this house that sets up on the hill, and it's like this big, massive house, and your whole life you say, I want that house. And you get older and you buy that house. And then it has a fire and you've got to repair everything. And it just takes forever and forever. The contractors can't get anything done. And the house never turns into what you dreamed of your whole life. And I do believe the Louisville job was the one, his pinnacle. And I just think I just see it on his face. Like, in his conversation, it's just almost like the disappointment that he couldn't do what he wanted. I think it was his dream job. And, I feel bad for the guy. I feel bad for the family.
Being appreciated. I mean, listen, I don't know how much I feel bad. I mean, I'm going to have to figure out how I feel about that. He makes a lot of money. These are still people. Money matters. But the money, I'm sorry, does many people believe that the money would wash away some of the pain? At least in our lives, we would all look around and think that's the case. By the way, I see Blank and Baker hanging around. Blank, you want on the air at 6 o'clock? Are you ready? Are you around here? I think he wants on the air. He does. Look at Jack's like, why don't you leave and get the hell out of here so I can go on the air? Let's play this. Again, 267-9680. A couple lines open. We've taken phone calls for the better part of 45 minutes here. 267-9680, 437-9680. I'll go over and rant on some of the stuff we talked about today. Coming up in a couple minutes, we can replay that 3 minutes of Chris Mack sound today. I was surprised. I asked Jeff Goodman what was next, okay? And Jeff Goodman thinks Chris Mack could be away from basketball for a while.
Jack wasn't listening to the show. Yeah, there we go. Jack wasn't. It's on Blank. Jack wasn't. I even did a full. I was waving my hand. All right, go ahead.
Jeff Goodman with us here on ESPN 680, 105.7. I mean, you know Chris Mack. How desirable do you think he will be next season? What kind of place do you think would want him? I know it's obviously we have no idea who's going to leave, get fired, move jobs, et cetera, but you think he'll be back into the game here pretty soon?
I think if he wants to, but I don't think he's going to want it. I think you're going to see Chris Mack saying, I'm retired. I'm not just out for a year. I'm retired. Now, that could change.
Really?
That could change. But, yes, it would not surprise me at all if Chris Mack never coaches another college basketball game. It would not surprise me. I think it's a 50-50 deal on that.
That's stunning, is it not? That's stunning, right? Texas says, dude, watch these guys blow out Duke on Saturday. Yeah. Texas says, Mack pulled a page out of the Dino Gaudio playbook. He held the university hostage and extorted them for a year's salary to take care of the family. Justice for Dino. That's fantastic. Back to the phone lines. We'll catch up with Greer in a second. I'll recap some of the stuff we've talked about today. Casey up next on ESPN 680, 105.7 on this Wednesday. Fire away.
I've got a song for Chris Mack. Hit the road, Jack, and don't you come back no more, no more, no more, no more. Hit the road, Jack, and don't you come back no more. Andy, I wanna say, Luke and I and Mark had a disagreement about this a while ago, but. I want to say this. I think that the next coach that we get, we better not be in a hurry. I can remember when Pitino was here and Mack was the one that they always talked about would replace him. But I think Jeff Goodman's right. I think Chris Mack's going to retire. But as far as I'm concerned, the university needs to study this real close before they hire somebody. And I think Chris Mack quit on Saturday or Monday whenever the thing came up between Jalen Withers and Malik Williams.
That could have been.
I think that was the point. And my point was, as far as who they get to replace him, I can think of two names right off the bat. Calvin Sampson's one of them. And I don't want Danny Manning.
So, Danny Manning, no, Danny Manning. No, appreciate the phone call. Sorry, that's as much as I could do. Jack, am I right? I've told you about my radio. I told you about my about what we're doing here. Look at you. I don't know if you like it or not. Who does Jack want? Hang on. Who does Jack cross? who do you want?
I want Nate Oates. Of course I want Nate Oates.
Oh, Nate Oates. Nate Oates been a bum this season.
Yeah, that's fine.
Nate Oates. What is it with you? Okay, well, who do you want that's not? Nate Oates, his buyout's $8, $9 million.
It's not my money.
Well, I know it's not, but I'm talking about feasible.
You've been sitting here talking about how feasible. I don't care about the money.
Feasible. Yes, I don't care about the money, but they do.
I would love Pearl, but I just, I don't see it happening. I think Holtman would be good.
Tax are saying, hey, that's why you don't take calls. Listen, we're doing the damn thing today. We're doing it, okay? You understand that? Texas says, I'm not reading that one. I'm not going to be got. I know that's a got. I just, whatever. Texas says, cruise ships have TVs and sports bars with ESPN. Texas says, there'll be 20,000 fans for Duke on Saturday. I don't care about that conversation. I'm not the one that does that conversation, and I also don't agree with that. Texas says, do you think Mack attends the game on Saturday? Where does Mack move? Does he go back to Cincinnati?
You know, his wife's from Louisville.
Oh, thank you. I mean, does he go back to Cincinnati? Let's keep going. Jack, fire away, 267-9680. Go ahead, man.
Hey, I think Louisville should hire Kenny Payne. Kenny Payne gives me Charlie Strong vibes. You know, an amazing coordinator, an amazing recruiter. I think that's the way we need to go. And if Kenny Payne was Jeff Brohm, we'd all be saying, come on, let's go. Get him in here. But he's not. He's Kenny Payne. But, yeah, so that's the way I think Louisville should go.
All right, appreciate the phone call, Jack. That's concise. I like that. 437-9680. Can I do this real quick? Stay on the line. Just today, things I've talked about that I've thrown out there. It's okay to be wrong on the hire. Everyone was wrong on this hire. You know, maybe Bozich, and obviously other people wanted a look at other candidates. Kenny Payne, will get to him being one of those. It's okay to be wrong on the hire. Everyone was wrong on this hire. Now, I was right on the Satterfield hire. Wrong on the Chris Mack hire. Chris Mack, the timeline, did he quit? Did he hedge his bet here? Those things matter to me. They shouldn't, because overall, I don't care. And like, you know, I'm not crying over, well, Louisville had a wasted year. But for the fans in this area, I would stand up and say, that's BS. How they got to the number of 4.8 mil, that is going to be interesting when and if anyone from U of L is able to talk. Will this get ugly? And what I mean by that is Kenny Payne specifically, and I think ultimately he will get the job, but Kenny Payne has been lifted up, right, by groups of people that it's like, that's a lot to live up to, man, okay? And he's going to have to revamp this roster. I mean, whoever comes in is going to have to do like the Michigan State in football, okay? Revamp, what Calipari did. Obviously not with John Wall, you know what I mean. I mean, Calipari, I mean, everyone was different, right? I mean, there's no one left on the team except for Patrick Patterson. Just about everyone was different. That's going to have to happen. But will this get ugly? I mean, race is a factor here. It was a small factor when Chris Mack was hired. But the faction that's ready to say, hey, you're going to look at minority candidates, that group is louder, more powerful, and people now agree with that a lot more than 3-4 years ago. That's how I see it. Other names, Mick Cronin. What do you think about that? Mark Pope. What do you think? Mark Pope's a name that's out there. What do we think about that? Why it didn't work out? I said this yesterday. I feel like Chris Mack, to a certain extent, like this year, was trying to do what Mark Stoops did with Neil Brown. He was trying to run the air raid, and really all he wanted to do was run the football. Chris Mack doesn't want to shoot 3 seconds into a shot clock. Chris Mack doesn't want every one of his bigs who can't dribble to be dribbling around the perimeter. Chris Mack doesn't want to play that kind of offense. It never worked. Also, the reason it never worked, he could not recruit and he could not develop talent. I think Chris Mack at the high school level is a worse recruiter than Satterfield. I think we can have that conversation. Ana Gahan bust. Quinn Slezinski bust. Did not maximize David Johnson. Sam Williamson's been a bust. Jalen Withers is, I mean, probably top two or three of the most disappointing players in the conference, is he not? I don't know who else would be there, but he is one of the most disappointing guys in the conference. Josh Nickelberry was a player who's at LaSalle now. J.J. Traynor won't be here next year. Dre Davis is a bench player. Gabe Wisnitzer is not an ACC player.
He's the West Virginia Mountaineer.
He's not an ACC player. Sidney Curry, we'll see. Roosevelt Wheeler, we'll see. Again, James L. Ellis, we'll see on some of these. But he went out. Noah Locke's not. I mean, come on. Noah Locke's whatever. Jared West did not work out. Fresh Kimball did not work out. Charles Minland did not work out. For whatever reason, I've said it from day one, there was just always something off, right? And it goes back to 2019 and 2020, and it did not work out. And you have, 9 players. And you got Dre Davis, who's a fringe starter, and Sam Williamson, who is probably seen as one of the more disappointing teams. Hell, I thought Sam was going to transfer this past offseason. I'm shocked he's back on the team this year. And so, that's the thing. I mean, I just, he has missed on recruiting, and then when he brought somebody in that you thought was going to be of substance, the development has not been there, and that has been consistent. I mean, this you could say, hey, this could have been a lot worse had Rick Pitino not left him Jordan Wara. And he gets a lot of credit for Jordan Wara.
Yeah.
I mean, Chris Mack does. I'm giving him credit, but that hasn't been there. and he never had the high school guy that you're developing like at Xavier, high school guys into your system that were your guys that developed through the system. After 2020, Jack, he realized, I got to get in the transfer market. Then you start bringing in other guys. And I think he patchworked himself that it bit him in the ass this year. Listen, it's happened to John Calipari. Calipari has patched at the big position, and it's cost him by some guys that have not worked out. So we've talked about that, how nasty it got so damn quick. What if they simply make the tournament last year? They're 10 seed.
Playing game, team better.
Not a playing
game.
They were
the first team out.
If they just simply make the NCAA tournament, how much does that change the offseason? Do they fire everyone? Does Dino Gaudio, in that situation happen? Obviously that would leak into this season. Obviously, it would also mean there'd be some different players on the team because the recruits all went elsewhere. If you remember, what would go on there? And so all of those. I think it's valid to say, hey, who was actually a better recruiter between Satterfield and Mack? That's not crazy. I mean, when you look at the guy, I mean, maybe Mike James and Roosevelt Wheeler are good. I mean, Sidney Curry, L. Ellis. Maybe. Eric, fire away, 267-9680. Eric, go ahead.
Okay, so I do believe Mack quit on the team. Like, I think you could tell the way that he was just standing over on the sideline or sometimes sitting on the sideline and doing nothing and just sitting there looking like he was hurt or lost or something. So, you know, as far as this season is concerned, I hope that Mike Pegues takes over. I'm going to take the optimist route.
Well, he's going to. He's going to.
We're 5-1 with him. So, you know, maybe we'll play differently. You know, I can only hope. But as far as who I want for the next coach, I understand maybe – why? Because he's not like a big name. But why would you not want, we're talking about bringing somebody who is a Louisville guy, who's from Louisville, who is, you know, that's why everybody wants Kenny Payne. But while he has all this experience as an assistant and all these other things, he hasn't been a head coach. He could still end up being great. But we have a guy in the city already who is a national champion. Granted, it's at D2, but he moved up to D1, I believe is leading the conference right now. Either first or second in the conference, you know, when he made this jump, I believe he's going to win an NCAA tournament game very, very soon when they're eligible. And, you know, he was under Coach Crum.
I think Scotty will get. I think Scotty will have a conversation. I do. I don't think that's crazy.
I don't think he's going to get the job. The pillars of Louisville. How can you look at the pillars of Louisville basketball saying Denny Crum and Rick Pitino for the past however many years, and the one guy that was underneath both of them that has all this success, that is breeding a team all the way from D2 to winning a title to going to D1 and winning in D1. Like, he is, to me, he is the man. If you want a Louisville man, you want somebody that's been with two Hall of Famers, it's Scotty D.
There we go. Huh, how about that? What did Matt Jones tweet out? You sent me something, Matt Jones. By the way, would you text the stream? Oh, I have not seen this. This is from a little while ago. Maddie Bangs has tweeted, a couple prominent boosters are heavily promoting bringing in Dwayne Peavy and Kenny Payne combo at Louisville for the AD head coach. I think they have reached out to both. Whether that ends up happening or they even have authority to do it is questionable. It would make him sad, he says. So there you go. Kenny Payne won those games.
Also, do we want Greer or not?
Yeah, we can get Greer on the fly. All right, call him on the back door line. How does that sound? South End Steve up next on ESPN 680 105.7. Steve, good afternoon. Fire away.
Yeah, I just wanted to say, not a Mac apologist at all, but I think he had some bad info when he came down here in the first place because it was a train wreck, and you're going to take a long time to get that turned around the other way. But I would say this, if I would have been him, I heard a little bit of his exit.
Yeah.
Somebody caught him at the car What'd you say it was? 4.8 million, 12 million, however much money he got.
He got 4.8.
That's how many reasons I've got for not being bitter.
Well, that's how I feel. I mean, this dude, Steve, is going to make well over $20 million from U of L and never won a tournament game.
And if he's got any gumption at all, take a million of it and give it to Dino.
Oh, well, Steve, that ain't going to happen.
All the way under that bus.
Steve, that is not going to happen.
Can I give my four predictions for administration?
Go ahead. Go ahead.
Junior Bridgman is president. Butch Beard is AD. Jerry Eves is a basketball coach. And Elvis Dumerville as a football coach, or Harry Douglas, whichever one you want. Thank y'all.
Steve, you got to save Steve's call. Jackie, that right there, that call needs to be on the mixtape. I know you're talking to Greer, but that's got to be on the mixtape. Texter says, with all the Chris Mack savings, why don't they go hire Brom? We retroactively, Jack, you got to mark that the last caller. My man Southend Steve was doing the damn thing. Eric and Samson, hang on just a couple minutes. We wanted to catch up with Jeff Greer. Greer, first of all, good afternoon. And, like, when did you become a father? You just put it on Twitter. Congratulations. When did this happen? Yesterday?
Thank you. Yeah, no, it was Monday. We it was a really long, arduous process, but everybody's happy and
well,
healthy.
Good.
And so we just kind of slept all day Monday and Tuesday and decided to keep coming home today and made it public and started telling people. So very exciting.
Well, how about that? Along with your baby boy, you're always going to remember Chris Mack getting $4.8 million out the door. So there you go. You have a story to go with it. Well, listen, I mean, you know Chris Mack. You know the situation here. At Jeff Greer, if you want to follow him, how surprised are you this is where we are? How surprised are you that all this is happening with, you know, a month and a half left in the season?
Pretty surprised. I didn't think that it would end in season. I mean, I thought he was for sure done after the NC State game. I mean, I was already picking up those vibes then. And, I mean, he was telling people in his circle, you know, he was basically making jokes about counting down to the end of the season, how long the season had left. So, I mean, he was already very much out of sorts in the way he was thinking, and obviously could tell it wasn't going well and clearly was not enjoying coaching. But I mean, we saw the writing on the wall and some of the cracks in the foundation, all those cliches where everyone used,
right,
really after the last season, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, when they missed the tournament and then all the other things came up, and it's just like starting to be like, is this dude happy here? I don't know, and it's not going very well. So I just didn't think it would end this way at this point in year four.
What do you make about him getting 4.8 mil on the way out? If that ends up being the number, Matt Norlander has that out. I have reason to believe that is right. That number, 4.8, what do you make of that?
Yeah, the school came in a little bit lower, and Mac came a little bit higher, and they met pretty close to the middle there. I mean,
it's a good chunk.
I think if you're Louisville, you recognize the situation and the severity of it, and you're willing to pay almost a little bit more than a third of what his original buyout was supposed to be in his contract, which was $12 million for the final 3 years of his contract. So to get out at 4.8, Matt can go sit on a beach and shuttle between here and there for the next couple of years while his kids finish high school, his daughters finish high school. And I don't think he's going to coach for a while, and Louisville can go find someone who better fits what they're looking for.
Jeff Greer with us. Just a couple more, Jeff. I do appreciate just breaking up the show. I want to talk to you. I know, obviously, you've been following this story. We had Jeff Goodman on in the 3 o'clock hour. Goodman thinks he's, I guess that's kind of what you're saying, that he may stay retired for a good long time. He even said, hey, he might not coach another game in college. I mean, to me, that's stunning. I mean, it's one thing leaving and getting his money and maybe taking a couple years off, maybe doing TV, whatever it may be, but him not coaching again, I mean, or maybe for quite a while, to me, that's surprising, shocking, whatever word you want to use. I guess, why do you guys feel that way?
Man,
and I'm certainly not blaming fans and the intensity of this environment, but I think this job just completely deflated Chris Mack. The guy who was at Xavier, who had it rocking there, who had him as a number one seed in the tournament, who had him making all these runs, the guy who's snipping at Mick Cronin in press conferences, and his players are getting in those testy exchanges with Cincinnati all the time. That dude showed up at Louisville and started to fade in February of his first season. And I think he tried to rally it back with that second-year team, and COVID just completely waylaid any chance of him building any momentum. And I think his sales have been pretty well deflated since then. And look, Chris is a guy who obviously cares a lot about basketball. He wouldn't do what he has done over the years if he didn't. But he's also a guy who doesn't mind sitting on the beach or sitting in a fishing boat, drinking a beer and being off the grid. And, you know, there are a lot of ways that personality and that his upbringing and his background fits in with what Louisville fans want. But there's a lot of that doesn't, in the sense that, you know, you can't be incommunicado for 2 months while your staff is getting fired and all these things. And you've got Matt Jones tweeting it out first. And all. I mean, you just can't deal
right.
with all that stuff and just be completely.
There was always something.
Gone.
There was always just a little bit something, even from day one, right? Just a little bit of something, just a bunch of things added up to this. Of course, you never know what's going on in his life, but it just seemed like from the outside, it's a bunch of things that just added up to it's like, okay, there's a lot of things going on. What's going on?
Right. And it's never – the funny thing is like, I mean, with Pitino, you had these obviously national headline-making incidents over a couple of different stories that, you know, were sandwiched by lots of success. And I think a lot of people would make the argument that the greatest or at least the best modern college basketball coach that there is. I mean,
sure,
in terms of pure X's and O's and his ability to coach – certainly in the conversation, but you eventually was torn under by all of those big headlines. Mack, it was like a bunch of micro incidents that just kind of added up, and when the team stinks again after last season, I think at some point you're just kind of like, this isn't going to work.
Let me ask you this, and you may not know the answer. Two more, and we'll get Jeff Greer out of here. We'll keep taking your phone calls. We got you to 6 o'clock. And Greer, you know, me and Ennis are going a couple hours. You know your boy Jack Grossman wants on the mic. You damn well better believe that. Patty Ice is dressed up in all Vineyard Vines today. I mean, this guy, I thought he was going to the Derby or something. I mean, it was ridiculous. Do you not know that?
I absolutely know that.
Do you not know this is sports radio? Anyway, if they simply make the tournament last year, I mean, maybe you don't fire the staff. There are some different players on the team. The Dino Gaudio stuff never happens. The suspension never happens. No doubt there was bad blood there. How much do you think changes if they simply make the tournament?
I mean, a lot. I mean, I think you could point to a couple different things along this 3-plus years that he's been here as potential narrative changers. I mean, you go back to the first year, if they had beaten Minnesota in the first round of the NCAA tournament, probably a different conversation.
Great point. Yep.
You know, COVID, obviously, with 2020, a lot of people could make the argument about what their season could have been. But, I mean, if the dude gets a chance to coach a team that has a decent seed, I know we've all talked about this 100 times, but that's a conversation changer. I think some of the video that came out with Eric Wood, as stupid as that was just another kind of flash in the pan, dumb headline. If that never comes out, I mean, there's so many things
right.
that you could point to. But making the NCAA tournament, love it or hate it, is what being a college basketball coach is about, and it's a absolute minimum requirement for Louisville basketball. And to miss it now, clearly he's going to miss it again this year. I think he just understood that it was headed in the wrong direction, and it all started really with last year and what was a very tumultuous season for them.
Jeff Greer with us here on ESPN 680-1057 at Jeff Greer, the Floyd Street Tribune
Floyd Street's finest. You guys are taping the finest tonight, right? Old Jack Grossman's been.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, he'll give you some time, but he's got to get back to the microphone, you know? I mean, he's got to make sure none of this, you being on the screen only, okay? My man's all dressed up. He's got his peach shirt on and everything else. He's ready to go. Last one.
Keep it locked on The Take with Andy Sweeney.
Toward the end of the ceremonies before the game, you made a comment about you wanted it louder during the game. Did you feel like the guys were not getting the reception they deserve?
That's a pretty negative way to phrase that question, Tim.
Well, it was a pretty negative comment on your part, I thought.
No. Don't start pointing fingers at me.
On ESPN 680 and 105.7.
Do we have to do this, Jack? Within the last 3 minutes, Chris Mack has released a statement. I think Chris Mack's full of it. Y'all don't seem to care, but he did quit on his team. Go ahead.
So we do have Louisville Athletic just tweeted a Twitter stream of Josh Hurd talking. You want me to pull it up?
Yeah, let's go right now.
Yeah, I'm pulling it up.
Yeah, how can we, where is he talking at? Was there a press conference?
Yeah, he's talking on. Yeah, and they're streaming on Twitter, so I'm pulling it up.
Okay. Does everyone know this? Does 93.9 know this? Does anyone know this? Six producers here right now.
I don't know what the future holds.
Okay, you know, so that's Chris Mack. That's Chris Mack. Thank you to Jason and his team. It's a Witch Wednesday. Thank you for them bringing some food to the ESPN Louisville studios. Are we ready to go? This Josh Hurd sound presented by Witch. Let's go out live to U of L.
I stay in contact with representatives of our head coaches and a number of assistant coaches. And so we had a conversation last week about just the state of the program and quite frankly asked the question, what happens if this thing doesn't turn around? And I think everybody in this room has watched our men's basketball program and over the weekend realized that was probably the direction we were headed. And so continued those conversations on Monday and essentially had a proposal that we presented to the board, obviously, today.
Dalton Godby here with WDRB. Just wanted to know, when exactly did those conversations with Coach Mack start? And also, can you provide any details of this agreement?
So let me start with the details of the agreement. Wanted to actually try to get it in front of this group. Something you'll learn about me is I'm going to be very transparent with things. I think I've said that to this group before, and I want to continue to be that way. But unfortunately, we wanted to make sure that it was actually signed and executed before we got it out to this group, obviously, publicly. And so we should presumably see that here in very short order. As far as terms, it's effective immediately, and it's the settlement or the agreement is $4.8 million between this fiscal year and then the three future fiscal years.
Josh, with three level two violations alleged against him, you were possibly in position to fire him for cause and save $4.8 million. Why did you choose not to?
I think you look at everything in totality and try to make the best decision that you can. And on one hand, you had $12.75 million at stake if he was let go without cause. And I think we need to clarify that. It's not $12 million. It's $12.75. And that's, I don't know about you guys, but $750,000 is a lot of money to me. And on the flip side, you can sit here and say it's zero, but it's not zero either, right? Who knows how long that's going to go as far as the NCAA case. And I don't know about you guys, but I don't want to bet on the NCAA wrapping up anything quickly. And so that's why we came to terms that we did.
Josh, who will hire the new coach, and what kind of, how do you even get that process started with so many interim people at the university at this point?
So obviously trying to get through today and then worried about, the guys in the locker room. And so I think it's worth noting that Mike Pugliese is going to serve in the interim role. I think a lot of people just presumed that because he did that earlier this season, but did have that conversation with Mike yesterday evening. He looks forward to the challenge. And veering off course a little bit relative to your question. As I was talking to the team today, the one question I had for them is, what were their goals at the beginning of the season? And one of those was obviously to win an ACC championship. And we still have half of an ACC schedule remaining. And so I would contend that those goals are still in front of them. And so that's going to be their focus, obviously, with Mike as their leader. As far as moving forward, it's my intention to hire the next head coach. Somebody could change that on me as far as naming a permanent AD and it not being me. But right now, I intend to obviously consult university leadership and plan to make that hire.
As a follow-up, do you anticipate changing the terms of Mike Pegues' contract at all since he's taking on kind of a new role?
And what was your conversation like with the player? What was the mood in that room when you talked to them about where this program is going from today forward?
As far as timeline, I would tell you we'll wrap it up when we find the right coach. And I would expect that we will try to do that quickly, efficiently. Because to your point, it's extremely important that the guys in that locker room, this community, know who the leader of this men's basketball program is. As far as the tenor of that meeting, look, it was sad, right? You had a guy who gave his heart and soul to this place for 4 years, and he had built some real relationships with those guys, and obviously his staff felt the weight of that as well. I felt the weight of that, and I feel the weight of it talking about it right now. It's difficult to talk about because you think about just the time, energy, effort that a head coach who coaches a program at this level that they put into this, and for him to say he's no longer going to do that, it's sad and it's disappointing.
Josh, you mentioned that the NCAA process is not necessarily fast. Given that and the interim nature of the leadership here, how do you view the job that you're selling, the job that you have to offer to a candidate?
One of the best in the country, unequivocally. It's one of the reasons I came back here, because of all the opportunity that this athletic department affords. And I've had the opportunity to have I've had one conversation with one head coach to this point, and not asking if he was interested in the job, just as a friend, and flat out asked him, as an outsider who hasn't spent much time in this community, what are your thoughts on the University of Louisville head coaching job? He said unequivocally top 10 in the country, not even close. And so I think that we'll get some of the best, most highly qualified candidates in the country.
Josh, right here. Going off of that, what is the top trait or characteristic or a couple that you're looking for in a candidate for this job?
I think it's everything that makes a good head coach, right? And that's not just X's and O's. And I would tell you, this job is difficult, right? There's a lot of pressure in that position, and there's a lot of things that you have to navigate internally, externally. And so it's got to be somebody that has a vision to compete at the highest level, at the elite level. I think everybody understands that the expectation here is to win national championships. That's not going to change. I think it's somebody that has to be able to communicate to fans, to stakeholders, donors, to folks on campus here, to folks inside the community. And so that's going to be very critical. I think it's going to be somebody who just comes in and embraces this town. I'm a huge believer that you have to embrace the community that you're part of, and if you can do that, you can really start to fit in and really, quite frankly, be successful.
Josh, to clarify,
today I think it's best for me to retire, and so it's got to be somebody who has the ability to adapt and say, hey, the NCAA is going in that direction, whether it's the ability for players to generate revenue off their name, image, and likeness, whatever it may be, right? They have to embrace those things. The transfer portal, you can sit here and say you don't like the transfer portal, but it is what it is. And so you can say you're not going to take advantage of it, or you can try to take advantage of it.
Josh, as the administrator in charge of the program, you saw, you know, the inner workings of it for years. How surprised are you that we got to this point? And did you see a point when it turned, when you thought maybe this could happen?
No. You know, I think you, as an administrator, you evaluate programs almost daily. And if you can, you try to assist. You try to assist the coaches, which sometimes you can't, sometimes you can. But at the end of the day, it's their program. And at least for me, you try to let coaches run their program and then really try to support them where you can. And so there wasn't one instance, there wasn't one day. You know, it's, once again, it's, for some reason, it just didn't seem to fit, right? And I, as I've said, for anybody that's ever hired employees, sometimes you just don't get the right one. Their resume nails it. Their interview nails it. And I find one person in this city, find one person, quite frankly, that's ever watched basketball that didn't think Chris Mack won the right hire here. I mean, I'm not sure there is one, right? And but as things transpired over his tenure here, you know, do you look at what happens if COVID doesn't hit in that second week in March and those guys are a number three seed and all of a sudden they're, you know, 2 weekends into the NCAA tournament? Are we sitting here today? Probably not. If things transpire a little bit differently last year because of COVID, are we sitting here today? Probably not. And so it's all of those things, and eventually you get to this point where you have to make a decision, and that's where we're at.
There's been a fair amount of criticism from former players about racial hiring practices. Is that a big consideration as you move forward?
Tim, it's a consideration in any position that we hire in the athletic department. At least it is for me, and it will continue to be for me, because I think it's something that we need to make sure that we're focused on. And we will be focused on. Obviously, we just hired an associate AD for diversity, equity, and inclusion in Derek Cowherd. And so, absolutely, it's important to me.
Josh, what will this hiring process look like? Will this be a committee of one and you, or will this be a group of players, alums, other university stakeholders involved?
Trying to kind of go through that right now. I can promise you it'll be a collaborative process, and maybe not necessarily interviewing individual candidates, but I will seek as much information as I possibly can as to what we're trying to, not what we, what a number of people, whether they're former student-athletes, whether they're members of the community, whether they're fans or donors, members of the campus community, what are you really trying to see in a head coach? And once again, for me, it's about compiling as much information as you can and making the best decision possible. And so that's how we'll approach it.
Anything else? Why the meeting takes so long?
Because a $5 million decision is a big decision. That's it. You know, I would expect anybody to discuss whether or not we're going to give any employee any time, just a shade under $5 million, that we have thorough discussion about it.
Is there a debate or minority right to think?
There was conversation. There was conversation as to why the decision was being made, and that's where you get into deem them opportunity costs, right? I think that's a big number as you go into potentially next season, and the attendance is down and things like that. Well, once again, you go back to the student athletes and their morale, all those things. I sound a little bit like a broken record, right? But we're going to take as much information as we have, make the best decision that we can, and that's what happened in the room there.
Are you ready for a job that gets you more? UPS is hiring now. As a warehouse worker, you'll earn up to $21 per hour, and you might even be eligible for a program that helps you with thousands of dollars for college, in many cases tuition-free. Search and apply now at upsjobsky.com.
Card Nation, this is attorney Alex White with SueDistractedDriver.com. Our law firm is a team of dedicated attorneys ready to fight for you. If you get injured because of someone else's negligence, their insurance company already has a legal team, and now so do you. If you or a friend or loved one are injured, find your attorney at SueDistractedDriver.com.
This is an advertisement.